I wonder when you last brushed your teeth with rat poison, or members of your family for that matter. Well, probably this morning. What you're about to hear is shocking, incredible, but true. And after you've listened to this tape, I suggest you go to your bathroom, your utility room and your kitchen and check the labels for some of the ingredients I'm going to mention over the next few minutes. Ingredients that I can truly say to you are a real health hazard. Chemical exposure in the home today is a far greater contributor to poor health and increased cancer risk than ever previously thought. The word cancer has become one of the most feared words in our society today. It's established that at this very moment, one third of us have cancer at different stages of development. And in the next 20 years, it's expected that this figure will rise to one in two. Harsh toxic industrial chemicals and carcinogens, in other words, cancer-causing agents, are invading our lives through the ingredients we believe are safe and trust and are found in many of our commonly used shampoos, conditioners, toothpaste, lotions, sun creams and bubble bars, plus everyday cleaning and household products. When they interact with other ingredients and substances, it is now known that once they get into your body, through their intended use, they can have a serious effect on our health through gradual poisoning and an increased risk of cancer. Many commercial toothpastes, for instance, as we mentioned at the beginning, contain a substance which is one of the active constituents of rat poison. More about this later, including the poison warnings on American toothpastes. Elizabeth Sword, Executive Director of the Children's Health Environmental Coalition, puts it like this. People blindly assume that if a product is on the market, it must be okay, or the government would not have allowed it to be sold. Food for thought. But let's talk about some of the experiences that we may have had which are chemical reactions. Sneezing after sniffing that scent or spray deodorant. Skin rashes after using a particular cosmetic, body lotion, shampoo or conditioner. Even more common is the persistent headache that occurred after painting the house or having had a new carpet laid. These are all chemical reactions that we're being exposed to, and we don't even realise it. It's been said that the most dangerous room in the house is the kitchen. After all, a lot goes on in that room. Cutting and cooking, operating electric mixers and blenders, handling all those breakable items, boiling hot liquids and frying. But if you think of the danger zone in terms of health risks instead of injury statistics, your bathroom is the most dangerous room in the house. The National Institute of Occupation, Safety and Health in America found that of the chemicals available for use in personal and skincare products, 884 have been reported as toxic substances and 125 as cancer-causing agents. It may come as a surprise to learn that at the turn of the century, cancer was a rare disease, but today one in three get cancer and one in four die from it. Why, you ask, are these potentially harmful ingredients allowed in personal care products? What are they doing to me and my children and my grandchildren? Are there any safe alternatives out there? Well, the purpose of this audio tape is both to alert you to the possible health hazards you may encounter in the products that you use every day and to enable you to make informed decisions concerning the kind of ingredients you should look out for. Research in Germany, Switzerland, Japan and the United States has found that many ingredients commonly used in shampoos, toothpaste, skin creams and other personal care items may be linked to liver, lung, heart and brain damage, as well as premature baldness, cataract formation, environmental cancers, contact dermatitis and possible eye damage in young children. Most people have no idea what many of the products they use every day, in good faith, are doing to them. In their book titled The Safe Shopper's Bible, David Steinman and Dr. Samuel Epstein observed that in 1990 there were some 38,000 cosmetic-related injuries that required medical treatment in the US. Dr. Epstein has, for the last 25 years, been Professor of Occupational and Environmental Medicine at the School of Public Health, University of Illinois Medical Center in Chicago. He's an internationally recognized authority on the toxic and carcinogenic effects of environmental pollutants in air, water, and the workplace, and of ingredients and contaminants in consumer products, food, cosmetics, and household products. He's the chairman of the Cancer Prevention Coalition and the author of 280 scientific articles and 8 books, including The Politics of Cancer Revisited, the Breast Cancer Prevention Programme, and, of course, the Safe Shopper's Bible that I've just mentioned. In the UK, in June 1999, he was the keynote speaker to a select committee from both Houses of Parliament on the need for cancer prevention and the ways in which this should be done, with particular emphasis on avoidable toxins in the home and workplace. The fact is that information on these damaging chemicals has been available for several years, but it hasn't even been publicised inside the medical community, let alone more generally. Your own doctor probably doesn't know anything about this problem. It usually takes about 20 years for scientific health information to become general knowledge, but that doesn't mean you have to wait to protect yourself and your family. Dr. Epstein has stated that of the 1,000 new chemicals introduced onto the market each year, only 12 are tested for carcinogenic effects. So what are some of the most harmful ingredients that you should watch out for? Well, the greatest concern of many scientists is centered around an ingredient that's found in about 90% of all commercial shampoos, toothpaste, and bubble baths. It's sodium lauryl sulfate, SLS for short. It's also known as sodium dodecyl sulfate, SDS, and many other different names. There's also sodium lauryl sulfate, SLES. But with sodium lauryl sulfate, dioxins are created, and they're some of the most potentially dangerous carcinogens in the world. That's what Agent Orange, the chemical foliage spray, was composed of, and from which those serving in Vietnam have been getting cancer. Now, just check your present shampoo bottle. The reason SLS is so common is because it's inexpensive, and just a small amount mixed with ordinary table salt produces a lot of foam. But the more profound health hazards aside, sodium lauryl sulfate is highly corrosive. In the industrial world, SLS is used in garage floor cleaners, engine degreasers, car wash soaps, and the like. Indeed, the manufacturers of SLS in their material safety data sheets issue strict guidelines for its handling. For example, wear self-contained breathing apparatus, rubber boots and heavy rubber gloves, safety goggles and other protective clothing. Avoid inhalation and do not get in eyes or on skin, as the material is irritating to mucous membranes and the upper respiratory tract. Well, this could prove quite a challenge if you wanted to shower, have a bubble bath, or brush your teeth with the stuff. It goes on to say, symptoms of exposure may include burning sensation, coughing, wheezing, laryngitis, shortness of breath, headache, nausea, and vomiting. The Journal of the American College of Toxicology has confirmed that SLS is routinely used in clinical studies to irritate skin tissue. It corrodes hair follicles and impairs the ability to grow hair. A study in Germany shows if you use SLS on your scalp, it'll cause hair to fall out. The study showed hair normally takes 4 years to grow and then falls out for 3 months and then regrows for 4 years. SLS only allows hair to grow very slowly for 2 years and then fall out for 2 years. So if it's known to corrode hair follicles, stop hair growth, and make it fall out, why ever use it? There are, however, more profound health hazards associated with sodium lauryl sulfate. Dr. Keith Green, a researcher at the Medical College of Georgia who holds 2 doctorate degrees, studied the effects of sodium lauryl sulfate extensively. Dr. Green's study reveals some compelling and alarming evidence indicating that SLS should be avoided. Among his findings, SLS is rapidly taken up and accumulated by eye tissue and retained for up to 5 days. Its uptake is greater in young children, and it extends the healing time of the cornea surface to 10 days, far beyond the norm of 2 days. Again, SLS is absorbed through skin contact and not just through the eyes. Our eyes develop most during our first few years, yet we're dousing our children with SLS, and it's not just bad for children's eyes. SLS has also been linked to cataracts in adults. Is this perhaps why there are more and more people wearing contact lenses and glasses? SLS has been documented to enter and maintain residual levels in the brain, heart, liver, and lungs from skin contact, such as shampooing, and can damage the immune system, causing separation of skin layers and severe inflammation of the skin. The damage is accumulative. Once your immune system is damaged, it takes a long time for it to recover. This can lead to a form of suppression of your body, which allows you to become more vulnerable to viruses or bacteria. So that's why, being always immunosuppressed, it's very common to have these chronic fatigue-type symptoms. So what about baby shampoos? A quick glance at the shampoo section in your local supermarket is all it takes to see that SLS is a main ingredient in most baby shampoos. In fact, the closer to the top of the ingredients list SLS occurs, the higher the concentration level in comparison to the other ingredients that follow. But it's not only the shampoos we have to watch out for. SLS is in a lot of other personal care products as well, including toothpaste, hand and body soap, facial cleanser, and shaving gel. In bubble bars, it can cause urinary tract infection. Another health concern with SLS is its tendency to react with other ingredients, such as TEA, DEA. Do look at your bottles for these ingredients. Formaldehyde, etc., to form a potent cancer-causing agent. It's like a mini laboratory in a bottle. So why haven't we heard more about this? Well, it has to be remembered that the makers of personal care products rake in billions of pounds and dollars a year. Just like the tobacco industry was able to do for decades, the makers of these products provide scientific data of their own to cast doubt on the findings of studies like Dr. Green's. After all, it took 20 years before the tobacco industry was forced to carry warning labels on its products. So in many cases, the best the FDA, that's the United States Food and Drug Administration, can do is to compel them to put warning labels on some of their products. This, of course, has not yet happened in the UK or elsewhere. Speaking of warning labels, listen to this warning on a tube of toothpaste manufactured in the US by one of the largest toothpaste makers. I quote now, "Do not swallow. For children under 6 years old, to minimize swallowing, use a pea-size amount and supervise brushing until good habits are established. For children under 2 years, ask a dentist or a physician." And then below that, printed in capital letters, "Warning, keep out of the reach of children under 6 years of age. In case of accidental ingestion, seek professional assistance or contact a poison control center immediately," unquote. A poison control center? We're talking about toothpaste here. And let's just look at how many medications are recommended for best absorption, well, under the tongue. And it's also the fastest, usually 30 seconds or less. Now, don't you think it's possible that some of your toothpaste might get under your tongue while brushing, especially if you brush for, say, a minute or two? You know, children have actually died from swallowing too much toothpaste. In fact, when we're talking about the potential dangers of toothpaste, it's not just sodium lauryl sulfate we have to watch out for. Another problem is saccharin and fluoride. Sodium fluoride is a poisonous substance used for, amongst other things, treatment of teeth to prevent decay. It's also used in rat poison, as we've mentioned, glass etching, insect sprays, cockroach powder, tanning agents, fumigants, fire extinguishers, solvents and fireproofing compounds. Just the perfect thing to be put into your drinking water, in your toothpaste, or onto your child's teeth when visiting the dentist. In 1945, the sales engineer at the biggest aluminium manufacturing plant in the United States realized that during processing, thousands of tons of aluminium were going to waste. This waste is in the form of an extremely fine dust called aluminium filing tailings, which is separated from the body of aluminium during processing. The manufacturers realized that if they could sell this waste at even a minuscule price, it would reap a very handsome profit. The dust is so poisonous that it posed a problem just disposing of it. It's used primarily as a rat poison by grinding the digestive organs to shreds, the same as ground glass would. It had been discovered that the water in Hereford, Texas, had a high content of natural fluorine, calcium fluoride in its natural state, produced by nature for thousands of years, which seemed to assist in making teeth strong. So the Aluminium Trust decided arbitrarily to call the filing tailing dust sodium fluoride, and then attempt to induce all the cities in the United States to add it to their municipal water supplies. The enthusiasm to find a tooth decay preventative resulted in logic and reason being overtaken by hasty, unsubstantiated tests and claims based on those insufficient tests. Indeed, in tests where sodium fluoride had been added to the water supply, rates of tooth decay actually went up by 50%. And yet the authorities still persisted with fluoridation. I wonder why. You see, what you really need in order to prevent tooth decay is something to kill the bacteria that destroy the enamel and compromise the integrity of your teeth, without the risk of killing the owner of those teeth. So what should we do? Get a good mouthwash? Well, a good mouthwash will help, but a good mouthwash is as hard to come by as a good toothpaste. Most popular mouthwash brands have a higher alcohol content than beer or wine, and that can be dangerous, even deadly, to small children who accidentally swallow mouthwash. That's according to the Non-Prescription Drug Manufacturers Association in America. Many of the top-selling mouthwash brands contain between 12.5% and 27% alcohol. In alcohol terms, that's 25 to 54% proof. I've spent most of my time here talking about the negative effects of sodium lauryl and sodium laureth sulfate, fluoride, and mouthwash with alcohol. But there is another ingredient that's in personal care products and that is just as potentially harmful. It's called propylene glycol. It has severe adverse health effects and also is disguised under different names, too numerous to list in this brief tape. In industry, propylene glycol is used as antifreeze in things like aeroplane de-icer and brake and hydraulic fluid. It's also used in floor wax paint, coatings in swimming pools and liquid laundry detergents. When a drum of propylene glycol is bought from a supplier, that supplier has to furnish a material safety data sheet which warns the user to avoid skin contact and advises anyone handling it to wear a respirator, chemical safety goggles, rubber boots and heavy rubber gloves. But what's amazing is that this same product is found in most skin creams and lotions, including sun protection creams. It's also contained in children's personal care products like baby wipes. It's been shown that propylene glycol can cause contact dermatitis, kidney damage and liver abnormalities. Tests on humans show that it can inhibit skin cell growth, damage cell membranes, cause rashes, dry skin and surface damage to the skin. Some of the major effects that are associated with propylene glycol are related to its absorption just through inhalation or ingestion, leading to gastrointestinal disturbances, nausea, headache, vomiting, and even worse, central nervous system depression. Again, information comes from the manufacturer's material safety data sheet. A published clinical review by the American Academy of Dermatology showed that propylene glycol causes a significant number of reactions and is a primary irritant to the skin, even in low levels of concentration. So why in the world do manufacturers use propylene glycol in their products? And why in the world would you want to put it on your skin? Well, again, as in the case of sodium lauryl sulfate, it comes down to cost. Propylene glycol is very inexpensive, and it does give creams and lotions a nice glide when being applied to the skin. It's the major ingredient in most skin creams, even though the science of skin biology has advanced a lot since it was first introduced over 30 years ago. For example, new findings suggest that using propylene glycol actually ages the skin prematurely as it absorbs moisture from your skin, robbing from the lower layers and bringing this natural moisture up to the surface. Our skin runs a lot better on fresh water than on hydraulic fluid and oil, so we're really a lot better off staying away from anything that suffocates the skin. Mineral oil, for example, which is in many moisturisers, is just refined crude oil, and it puts a film on your skin that suffocates it. As your skin is a living, breathing organ, it needs to take in oxygen and then respire and give off carbon dioxide, moisture and toxins. Ingredients like collagen, elastin, glycerine, lanolin, liposomes, mineral oil and other so-called humectants do nothing but clog the pores, suffocate the skin, hold toxins in and keep oxygen out. Even though your skin may feel softer just after you apply creams with these ingredients, the long-term effects combine to age the skin much faster than if you didn't use anything. Remember, the body is primarily comprised of water. Imagine, if you will, a bowl of water and you pour some oil into it. The oil sits on the top. Well, that's exactly what happens to your skin. It's known in the industry as the plastic bag effect. It suffocates. I now want to talk about cleaning products. Some of these also have very toxic substances. For instance, spray surface cleaners and floor cleaners, which are very commonly used in schools, the office, and especially in the home, quite often contain a chemical known as ethylene glycol monobutyl ether. It's a very common chemical, and this substance causes eye, nose, and throat irritation. But worse, it can actually cause kidney and liver damage, and like sodium lauryl sulfate and propylene glycol, it's readily absorbed through the skin. Surely one of the worst things about this chemical is that it's well known that its action is much more dangerous when mixed with water, which is exactly what we do. That goes for all the ethylene glycol ethers. And that chemical's just one. But there are a lot of these chemicals out there in other cleaning products. Let's turn now to air fresheners. What people don't realise is that most air fresheners don't actually freshen the air. Not like opening up a window and letting in some really fresh air. What they normally do is actually inhibit the way the body discerns that smell. So if it is to cover a bad smell, quite often they use a chemical that deadens the nerves so that you can't actually sense the smell anymore. Or they may just cover up the inside of the nasal passages with an oil. Quite commonly, these things just act as chemicals, and so basically you're just spraying a chemical onto yourself. Another nasty chemical that is quite commonly used in air fresheners is pyrodichlorobenzene. This is an organochloride, in other words a pesticide, and is very effective in killing cockroaches and silverfish, which are notoriously hard to dispose of. Quite a surprise when we hear that, particularly as it's also very readily absorbed into the human body through both inhalation and ingestion. Now, if we're spraying it around the room, we're going to breathe it in very easily, aren't we? So what sort of things does this chemical cause? It's well known to cause headaches, liver and lung damage, but even more importantly, it's known to disrupt the central nervous system. Surprisingly, this chemical is also found in an earwax treatment that is used for children. Whatever is something like this doing in our bathroom or home in the first place? And what's more, what are we doing sticking it in our children? Let's come back again to Dr. Samuel Epstein's book, The Safe Shopper's Bible. This book is essentially a consumer guide for non-toxic household products. He talks about the risk of leukemia and says that it increases 4 to 7 times for children aged 10 and under whose parents use home and garden pesticides. He states in his book that residues of more than 400 toxic chemicals, some found in household products and foods, can be identified in the human blood and fat tissue. That's pretty frightening when you think about it. And how are they getting in there? All these toxic ingredients can enter your bloodstream through the skin. It could be by using that skincare product or toothpaste, or those cleaners and air fresheners, or that cosmetic, or even putting on that shampoo and conditioner. Or what about talcum powder that's being linked to ovarian cancer and the Alzheimer link with aluminium in deodorants? Dr. Epstein also confirms that many chemicals cause cancer or nervous damage. Some can cause birth defects. Others damage the reproductive system. Our children are the ones that really suffer the most when it comes to chemical exposure. That's simply because of their size. When we look at how much they absorb, children are absorbing the same amount that we are. But because they're so much smaller, they end up with a much higher concentration in their tissues, and so therefore suffer more damage. Dr. Epstein states that at least 4% of leukemia and non-Hodgkin's lymphoma may be associated with the exposure to hair colours. If we look at the cancer incidence in hairdressers, and worse still, nail salons, we find they have a very high cancer rate compared to the rest of the population based on the actual work that they do. Again, this is because of the chemicals they use. According to an alarming report, gender-bending or hormone-disrupting chemicals used to make household products are being found in breast milk and blood. The compounds, which are in thousands of household items, are building up in our bodies before many have been properly tested for health risks. Some are already known to have serious effects on animals, and experts fear they may be linked to human diseases such as breast, prostate, and testicular cancer. A breakdown of the immune system, physical and mental health problems in children, besides links to birth defects and threatening fertility. The chemicals tend to accumulate in the environment and in our bodies without being broken down. So even after interaction with the product has ended, the toxic presence of the chemicals lingers on. Friends of the Earth, which collated these research findings from all over the world, described the widespread use of the chemicals as a ticking time bomb and has called on the British government to ban them. So, I've told you all the bad news, but what about the good news? Clearly, we need to start taking a proactive step towards reducing our chemical exposure at home and making sure that our personal care and everyday household products are safe. There are now products being developed based on more recent scientific breakthroughs. There is, however, according to Dr. Epstein, only one company that has taken up the challenge. It's the only company that he is aware of that has pioneered and succeeded in manufacturing a broad range of personal and household products that are free of toxins, contaminants, mutagens, and potentially cancer-causing ingredients. The information you have just heard is without doubt life-saving. It's up to you whether you ignore it or take this opportunity to take control of your health and that of your family. Ultimately, it all comes down to one question. Do you value your health enough to protect it from cancer-causing ingredients? If not, then your health may be facing a very uncertain future.
I'm Maggie Sedgwick. I have suffered with mouth ulcers for as long as I can remember. They were very painful and always lasted longer than a week. That is, until I started to use a new toothpaste and mouthwash that do not contain the potentially harmful ingredients, such as sodium lauryl sulfate, fluoride, or alcohol. I now recommend these products to everyone I meet, whether they suffer as I did or not. The real proof came when we went on holiday, and I forgot to take my new toothpaste. Within 2 days, I had a mouthful of ulcers again. I could hardly believe it. Dave, my husband, suggested that I brush my teeth with the new mouthwash only. Incredibly, they started to heal, and within a very short while, the whole lot had gone and have never returned.
My name is Eve, and I'm from Chichester. I've suffered with alopecia most of my adult life. I've lost my hair totally 3 times, and more recently, I've lost patches of hair. It was always thinning and breaking off, particularly on my forehead. When I started using a special scalp conditioner on a daily basis, I was amazed by the results. New growth of hair started to appear all over my head, and after a few months of using this product, I could see that the new hair on my forehead had grown to about an inch long. I'm delighted with the progress I'm having and will continue to use this product every day.
My name is Chris Magner from West Sussex. For 20 years, I've suffered the gradual loss of hair from the top of my head, leaving only the back and sides with any hair at all. And no matter what brand of shampoo I used to wash my hair, the hair loss continued, and I became resigned to the conclusion that baldness for me was a fact of life. Over the years, I've read many publications about pollution, one of them being The Safe Shopper's Bible by David Steinman and Professor Samuel Epstein. The authors highlight how daily sources of pollution, such as harmful ingredients in the air, in the processed food we eat, in the products we use on our hair and skin, have a direct effect on our health. Two such harmful ingredients mentioned in particular are sodium lauryl sulfate and sodium lauryl sulfate. 14 months ago, a business friend suggested I try a special shampoo, plus a conditioner and also a scalp conditioner that did not contain either of those ingredients, and with which he had had positive results with his own hair loss. Since then, I've used these three natural products on a daily basis and now have a regrowth of hair which is strong and healthy. For me, now it's only a question of time using these products daily and I will have a full head of hair again.
Hello, my name's Judy Barfoot and I'm from Hampshire. I've been using the hair care products for the last 2 years. It includes the shampoo, conditioner and gels. My hair's in wonderful condition, which I'm always being told by hairdressers. I used to suffer from a dreadfully itchy scalp, which was quite awful at times. Within a few weeks of using the products, it completely disappeared. It's never returned. And I wasn't hesitate to recommend the hair care products to everybody.
My name is Uma Wilds and I come from Buckinghamshire. Since I've been using this company's products, there have been many improvements to my general appearance. My hair's definitely grown thicker and is in much better condition. I don't know how it's possible, but the texture seems to have changed, and these days it's definitely much more bouncy. I'm equally impressed with their skincare range, as I rarely get blemishes anymore. But apart from becoming clearer, my skin feels softer and appears to have more elasticity. Their body lotion's excellent too. It's the only product I've ever used that's managed to get rid of the dry patches on my arms and legs, for which I'm eternally grateful. I'm so glad to have been introduced to these products because they've made such a difference to both me and my family. In fact, these days, we won't use anything else.
My name is Gerald Williams. I live just outside Cardiff. Some 3 years ago, I developed rosacea, a type of eczema. I had persistent itching in my face and scalp. My complexion was rough and very red. Two consultant dermatologists failed to have any impact. I then read a manufacturer's safety data sheet on sodium lauryl sulfate and propylene glycol. I was horrified to find both of these harmful chemicals in all of the personal care products I use. I now use shampoo that has none of these. My toothpaste is also harmless, and I don't use soap. I use a bath and shower gel without these harmful ingredients. It took about 4 months, but the condition cleared. I'm amazed that the medical profession is unaware of sodium lauryl sulfate and propylene glycol.
If you would like to know more, just get back to the person who gave you this tape.